The Sechtes Bav Basra, Daf Mem Tes, two lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Chesun Beis, and after the Gemara taught us the din of Rav Huna, that Tluy of Zavin Zvini Zvini, the Gemara continued and brought a story about Tavi, who was a Gavra Lima, or a strong and tough person, who either hung Papi on a tree called a Kinra and forced him to sell him a field, or he forced Papi to sell him a Kinra tree. Prior to Papi selling this Sado a tree, Papi gave notice to two Edim, which included Rav Barbachana, that he was being forced to sell this property to Tavi, and they executed a Shtam Yidah. After they already executed the Shtam Yidah, Rav Barbachana and another witness executed the Shtam Mechira between Tavi and Papi, and the Gemara explained Rav Huna Paskins that although generally we state Tluy V'Zavin Zvini Zvini, but since they previously executed the Shtam Yidah, so this sale is void. However, Bavada, if they didn't execute the Shtam Yidah, then the Shtam Mechira would be valid, as Rav Huna L'shitasai holds Tluy V'Zavin Zvini Zvini, and the Gemara now continues and asks, Eini, how could the Shtam Yidah be valid if L'maisa Rav Barbachana, who was one of the signatories on the Shtam Yidah, was also one of the signatories on the actual Shtam Mechira, which the Gemara refers to as the Ashkalta. The Gemara asks from the second point that Rav Nachman will make, as Ba'am Rav Nachman, Ha'idim Sh'amru Ha'monohoy Yidivreim Eina Monim, and we continue on Daf Mem Tesimon Aleph, and Rav Nachman states, Moidoha Yidivreinu Eina Monim. The first point that Rav Nachman taught us is not negated to our Gemara specifically, but Rav Nachman taught us that if there is a note that states that Reuben lent $1,000 to Shimon, then those same Edim that executed that note cannot now come to Bezdin and claim that although they executed this document, but they didn't actually see that Reuben lent $1,000 to Shimon, but Reuben and Shimon told us to execute this note as Reuben and Shimon wanted the note to be available when Reuben would eventually lend the money to Shimon, and this document is called the Shtar Mana from the Lashon of Amunah, as Shimon trusts that Reuben will not use this note unless he actually lends money to Shimon, but in the meantime, the lender Reuben holds on to the note, as by doing so, it creates a call for Lukuchais, and once Reuben lends money to Shimon, Reuben has a right to collect from the Nechasim of Shimon from the original date of the note, and it is not considered a Shtar Mukdim. So if Reuben claimed that it is not a Shtar Mana, he would be believed, and we would not believe the Edim that it was a Shtar Mana. And as Rashbam explains at the top of the Mem Tesimon Aleph, Eina Manim Lemi Boyin Ksav Yod Nyotzim Makamacha, that certainly in a case where we actually don't need these Edim to verify their own signatures, as we already have another method in order to be able to verify that they actually signed this document, the Loi Mehemni La'akrei, as certainly in that case, the Edim can't be Eikur, the original Shtar, the Lava Pesha Asu, who have Pesha Hitika, as certainly there's no svara to say Pesha Asu Pesha Hitika, Ela Filo Hein Atzman Mekayman Eisai, and even if these Edim are the only ones that testify that these are the signatures, and they were the only ones that verified their signatures, which created the Shtar, V'aymen, these same Edim state Chesamnu, that while it's true we signed this document, Aba Monohoy Devreinu, but you should know it's not a valid document, because L'maisa, we never saw that this transaction occurred, and one may think that we should say HaPesha Asu HaPesha Hitika, however in the Monim, in this case they would not be Naman, as once they testify that these are their actual signatures, then it says if they're testifying that this shtar is a valid shtar, which would include that Reuben actually lent this money to Shimon, and Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin and Chayzo Magid, and now they can go and retract that statement and now state that Reuben did not lend the money to Shimon. And Rashbam continues that even though we know that there's a klal of Reish Lakish that Edim Achsum al Shtar Nas Kamisha Nachreidus of Bezin, but over here we should have a Pesha Asu or a Pesha Yeter, and the Rashbam brings down for the Gemara Mesechtes Ksubis that Om Rav Kahana Asu L'Adam Sheishor Shtar Mona B'Teich Beisai, that since it's also for a person to keep a Shtar Mona in their home, Mishum Shenema Al Tishkan Ba'olecha Avla, as the Pasuk in Iyo states, the Kivin the Avlohi Edim Avlo L'Chasmi, so really the Edim shouldn't have signed on this document, Chi Amri Chasamnu Einu Nemon, and when they state they actually signed this document, they're not going to be believed, they Einu Adu Nemon Be'edus Kishimesim Atzmi Rosha Be'edus Zu. Rav Nachman continues that similarly, if there is a Shtar Mecha that states that Reuben sold a field to Shimon, so the same Edom that executed this deed will not be believed to now testify that although we executed the Shtar, prior to entering into this transaction, Reuben informed us that he was being coerced to sell the Sada and is therefore not a valid transaction. And as Rashbam brings down, different Dinim Amidah that we already discussed previously in the Masechta, that generally Amidah only works where the Edom actually testify that the seller informed us and notified us, and he showed us what the Inus was, and we recognize that there was an actual inus and it was being forced, and even so in our case in nemanim they would not be neman. And as Rashbam states, the tavaru moedu the shtar ma'ayu, as certainly these edim were moedu that the shtar was written properly, the achshav boyim lebatla the edus moedu the koruzer chozu magid, and this is a case of chozu magid, and since these same edim actually executed the shtar and executed this deed, so in a chozu magid lebatla they can't be chozu magid in order to be mevatel the shtar. Based on this point of Rav Nachman, the Gemara is that in the case where Tavi forced Papi to sell him this field, and Lemaisa Rabbi Babachana signed the Meidah and signed on the Shtar Mechira. So how could it be that Rav Huna actually gave any credence to the Shtar Meidah? And Lechir, how could it be that Rav Huna stated that the stele is void and we rely on the Shtar Meidah that was executed by Rabbi Babachana, if Rabbi Babachana himself executed the Ashkata and he executed the Shtar Mechira? And Lechir, which is say the Kibin Shehigid, Shuvain Echizo Magid, and the Gemara answers, Hani Mile Alped, Leos Alper, Mal Ishtara, Al Bishtara, Osi Shtara, Umar Lashtara, that the only time Rav Nachman stated his din, that Edom are not believed to state Meidah Devrenu is in a case where the deed was executed, and then the Edom verbally testified that the shtar is invalid because Meidah Devrenu. So certainly, since we have a cloud regarding any shtar that is a valid shtar, that from the time that the shtar was written and the Edom executed the document, that we state Edom Aksum Shtar Nas Commission Nechkar Yedusim Bezin, and it's as if the shtar is testifying that this was a valid transaction, and it's as if these Edom already came to Bezin and stated that Reuven sold his field to Shimon and he wasn't coerced, and therefore the Edom cannot now come to Bezdin at a later point and verbally tell us that Meidah Devrenu, as Kivin Shekel, Shuvin Chayzo Magid, however, in our scenario, where Rabbi Bochana executed a Shtar Meidah prior to executing the Ashkalta or the deed, certainly the Shtar Meidah will work and it will weaken and void the Ashkalta. The Gemara now continues, Gufa, Amar Nachman, that we just brought the two members of Rav Nachman, that number one, Amonah Devrenu Ein Amonim, and number two, Meidah Devrenu Ein Amonim, and the Rishonim were bothered that Lechir, why didn't Rav Nachman just state, Amonah Meidah Devrenu Ein Amonim, and why did Rav Nachman state this as two different dinim? However, Lemaisa, as we will see in a moment, that even though Rav Nachman stated both of these dinim, and he stated them both cases Ein Amonim, however, Marba Rav Ashi, or some Agur Rav Ashi, going to be Chiluk Rav Nachman, and he holds Amonah Devrenu Ein Amonim, but Meidah Devrenu Ein Amonim, therefore certainly Rav Ashi or Marba Rav Ashi could not have placed both of these dinim in one statement, and therefore the Gemara brought down the two dinim of Rav Nachman as two separate statements as well. And the Gemara continues and brings another shita, and as we stated, Marba Rav Ashi Omar, or some agrees Rav Ashi Omar, that although I agree with Rav Nachman that the same two Edom that actually signed the Shtar Havah coming to Bezdin and verbally testify Amonah Devrenu that Ein Amonim, that there would not be an Amon, however, in the case of Meidah, with the two Edom that signed on the Shtar Mechira, and then the same two Edom that executed the Shtar coming to Bezdin, and even if these Edom only verbally testify that Meidah Devrenu, they would be believed and they can mevatel the Shtar. And the Gemara explains my taima, and what is the svara of Marba Rav Ashi, and what is pshat in this din of Marba Rav Ashi. And the Gemara states shezed nitli kosev is elointi nitli kosev, as since it is mutter for Edom to execute a Meidah, so even if they verbally testified that Reuven informed them and gave notice that he was being forced to sell this property, so even though Rav Nachman held then in this case we would say that kivin shehigad shuvin and chayzo magid, and these Edom would not be able to verbally testify that Meidah Devrenu. However, Marba Rav Ashi says that we would listen to their verbal testimony and we would mevatel of the deed and be mevatel of the shtar. The reason why it's not a problem of kivin shehigad shuvin and chayzo magid, as in essence they are testifying that the shtar was never a valid shtar and they are not being chayzo magid, as these Edom were actually doing a mitzvah and trying to protect the assets of Reuven. And even if we can verify the signatures from another source and the Edom aren't verifying their own signatures and therefore they don't have a pesha asua pesha etter, they're still nemon, and as Rashbam states, the in the chayzo magid el milsachrit kamasidi. And just like we know that if Edom come and testify that we executed a document but it was a verbal condition which wasn't satisfied, that they would be nemon, since it's a completely separate point and it's milsachriti, as the Edom are testifying that their note is a valid note, just the borrower isn't chayv to pay. And therefore Marba Rav Ashi states that the same applies in our case, that although the Edom are testifying that Meidah Devrenu, but they're not saying that the shtar wasn't written b'kashrus, as certainly we actually signed the shtar and certainly we executed this deed, but even so you should know there was a side reason why the shtar is batal. Reuven already gave us notice prior to us signing the deed, therefore based on a side point the deed is invalid. And lefi Marba Rav Ashi, the only time that we consider something chayzo magid is where Edom come to Bezin and state psulim ayinu, anusim ayinu, oktanim ayinu. And this scenario in ksav yodin yotzim makam acher, and there's no pesha asu ha pesha iter, where the Edom would not be nemon, as they're trying to void the original document. And certainly based on a klal of kivin shigud shuvin chayzo magid, it couldn't do so. And lechir at this point, so why is it that Marba Rav Ashi only argues on Rav Nachman b'negei the din of meidah devrenu, if lechir he should even argue in the case where they stated amonah devrenu, as lechir in that scenario as well, we should say there's no issue of kivin shigud shuvin chayzo magid. However, as the Rashbam explains that in the Chinami, the reason why Marba Rav Ashi states the Edom that signed on a document state amonah devrenu that ain't amonim, that is not based on the klal of kivin shigud shuvin chayzo magid. However, Marba Rav Ashi holds that since it's not proper to write a shtar amonah at all, based on the pasuk in Eiv that states atishkin bar lecha avlo, and Edom shouldn't sign on such an avlo, and therefore by Edom verbally testifying they executed a shtar mana, so einad misa matzim rasha. Therefore, these Edom aren't believed. And Rashbam explained that even if the Edom would actually have a pesha asa, as we're only able to verify their signatures through their own testimony and not through other resources, and for example, in the case of Ksav Yodin Yotzim Makam Acher, that even so they would not be believed to say they executed shtar mana. We couldn't say ha pesha asu ha pesha iter, as we have a chazaka that einad misa matzim rasha. And the Gemara continues and quotes from a Mishnah daf mem beis amud alef, v'lo l'ish chazaka b'nechse ishtoi, that a man cannot create a chazaka on his wife's nechassim. For example, if Reuben is married to Rachel and Rachel receives Yerusha from her father Yaakov, and we know that Reuben has a right to the pirus of the Sada and can use the pirus of the Sada while he's married to Rachel, therefore if at some point Reuben would state that I really bought the Sada from Rachel, and although I originally had a deed, I had a document that stated that I bought the Sada from Rachel, however it's already past the 3 years of chazaka and I have Edom that I already used the Sada for 3 years, Vavati Shtari, and I lost my Shtar. So the Mishnah taught us that in that case Reuben would not be able to create a chazaka, and certainly he should be no different than the case of an Oris and the case of a sharecropper, as certainly there's a reason why he's using the Pirus, as the din is that a man eats the Pirus of his wife's Nechsim Lug, and therefore he can't create a chazaka. And Ayin Rashbam states that in derech isha lumchais al-baila, that's not normal for a woman to be meicha and to protest against her husband because l'maisa he supports her, and therefore she wouldn't have the chutzpah to go and be meicha. Now our Gemara begins pshita that l'chirid is dinu d'mishah is pashut that kivin the islay l'peru peru hu d'kachol, that l'maisa since the husband has a right to use the perus of the sada, therefore he's using the perus that he had a right to, and doesn't prove anything regarding the guf hakako, and doesn't prove that he has any rights to the actual guf hakako. The Gemara answers that in a chinami, if the husband has a right to these perus, then certainly there is no chiddush, as certainly he would not be able to create a chazaka, as in that case he's certainly no different than an oris. And leitzricha, and the chiddush of the Mishnah is in the case of kasal din advarim in lemon chesayich, where Reuven actually wrote to Rachel that I don't have any rights to your perus, and even so he's using the perus of asada and he used it for 3 years, and even so he can't create a chazaka. And that is why the Rashbam explains that the reason why Reuven can't create a chazaka, even though lemaisa he didn't really have the right to the perus, as he already gave up those rights, and the reason is because a woman will not actually protest against her husband because she wants to keep the peace and she wants to keep shalom bayis, and she could state nachas ruach chasisa l'bayli. Therefore, although my husband Reuven did not have any legal rights to my peers, I still wasn't comfortable to be meicha, and that's why I didn't protest. And since there's a reason why she wasn't meicha, so that would not be a reisa, and therefore his chazaka of shal shanim would not work. And I intended to do a maskal the kasal of dinu dvarim inlim b'lechasayich b'tzarech leimah the bekasal anami u'peusayich, that Reuven also wrote I don't have a right to nechasim and I don't have a right to your peers. Therefore, when our Gemara stated the kastel of dinu dvarim in lebin chesayich, it's lav dafka that he stated only bin chesayich, and he said dinu dvarim in lebin chesayich over perusayich. Before we continue, then the Gemara's question when he asked pshita that kivin is like peru de kachol, so it's mashma that since he has a right to the perus, therefore he can't create a chazaka. And Rashbam explains v'lidomi lemashkata desura da mor and the tzarich lumchais b'seif kol gemil, and even though bin again mashkata desura, where the person that is in the sada only has a right to use his perus, and we still say that the owner has to be meicha every 3 years. The hasam hayotayim Hashem will save some maruba lo yu edim zechurim shabateris mashkin bala yaday. As over there, it's possible that at some later point people won't remember that the reason why Shimon is in the sada is because he's using it based on the mashkata desura v'yachal l'tayim l'kuchi b'yaday. And at that point, Shimon may taina that he actually bought his sada from Reuven, and therefore, in order for Reuven to protect himself, he has to be meicha every 3 years. Avon nixi ish l'bayla kala ilum yaydin shabateris yesh l'bekaka ishtay v'leithia l'chazaka b'chaya. And therefore, the Gemara is that pshita that certainly Rachel never has to be meicha, and her husband will never be able to create a chazaka while she's alive. And the Gemara continues and asks, v'chikasav l'may havi, maisa, even if Reuven would write such a lashon, then how could it actually help, and why would he lose the rights to the perus? V'tanya, but we learned to the brisa, ha'im l'chaver dinu dvarim in li'asad azu, if Reuven and Shimon are partners, and either verbally Reuven says to Shimon, or he writes to Shimon, dinu dvarim in li'asad azu, that I don't have any rights to the sada, or v'in li'isipa, I don't have any isik with the sada, or v'yodim su'leksim mana, or I'm being misalik myself from the sada, the loya maklum. So this is not a valid way for Reuven to be misalik himself from the sada, and he can't renounce his rights once he already has his rights. And as Rashi states in Masechtas Ksubis and in Masechtas Gittin, the in kan lashon matana, the ma'achas shi'ishaloi tzarich lichtov lashon matana, v'loy ovitz chusai, and he can't just give up his rights without saying the proper lashon and without making the proper kinyonim. As Rashi Rashbam states in Daf Mem Gimel Mod Aleph that Kivin Dekvar Yesh L'Chel B'Sada, as since Reuven already has ownership in the Sada, and he just states, I don't want a chelik, in the Lashem Atana L'Chaver, it is not a Lashem Atana, El Lashem Tefila Hu Halvai Shalai Yilai Chelik B'Sed Zu, V'Chaz Ban Shalai Omri Yihi Nasan L'Chasad Zu, L'Yotza Adai M'Shusai. Rashbam continued that based on our Gemara that we will see in a moment, V'Ein Teifis Lashem Zeh, and this type of Lashem will only work, El B'Davish Adai M'Lai Zachar Boi, only in a scenario where you were not yet zeicha, v'umasim lov shlehi shloi, k'shiyava as man she'asaliskeis ba'isidava, de'inun zecher b'dava ba'kochoi. Certainly, if a person will have a right and a benefit, then he doesn't have to take that benefit, and certainly he could say that I renounce my right to that benefit, and certainly we can't force Reuven to accept the benefit. And as Rashbam states in Agamor, loya maklum, de'in ze loshim atana k'she'am loy heli chelik b'shali, da'kochah hariyu shloi, ashiyem el chaver sadim sunalach or sadim mechulach or sadim mefkaris l'chol mishayirza, and in cases. Which Taisus points out that the Gemara could have answered very simply that it was talking about a case where Reuven actually wrote to Rachel a proper Lashon. Reuven used an actual Lashon Matana. Certainly in that case, even though Reuven already had a right to these payers, he would have a right to give his payers away as long as he used the proper Lashon and he used either a Lashon Matana or a Lashon Havhavkar. Similarly, Taisus states, Inami Shinoslam Menashe Ein L'Bailu Rishuspa, or we could give a scenario where Rachel received a gift from someone and the person who gave her a gift actually stated, I'm only giving you this gift if your husband doesn't have any rights to the payers at all. And the chiddush of our Mishnah would be that even if Reuven goes and uses the payers for 3 years, they still would not create a chazakah, as Rachel could tainer that the reason why it wasn't meicha is because nachas ruach hasisa l'baili. And similarly in a case, shenasa l'baila, that a husband gave her a gift to Amla Kaman, kantsav ein abala eichel payers, ayin and taisis. However, although as taisis stated, our Gemara could have given these two ritzim, however, our Gemara wanted to bring an example where there would be a chiddush in our Mishnah, even where the husband has a right to the payers, but the husband stated dinu dvarim in lemin chesayich v'loy b'perisayich. And as our Gemara continues, Amri to Bei Rabbi Yannai that he taught us in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yannai masnis the mekaisel lova idarusa, that Amish is talking about a case where the husband actually wrote dinu dvarim in lemin chesayich v'perisayich. Even though certainly once the husband received the rights to these payers, he certainly cannot retract and he can't renounce his right to these payers. However, our Mishnah is discussing a case where the husband did not yet receive the rights to the payers, as Reuven and Rachel were only in the status of Kedushin, and they only had Erisin at that point, and therefore at that point, Reuven certainly did not have a right to the Paris of Rachel, and therefore at that point, Reuven could write to Rachel, and he would actually be able to renounce his rights to her future Paris, and when they get married, he would not have a right to these Paris. And the Chiddush of Mishnah is that even if Reuven would actually use these Paris for 3 years, then Reuven could not create a Chazakah, as she could say, Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Baili. And keep in mind, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, that the only time Rabbi Yannai stated this din, that a person could renounce some type of rights that he eventually will have is only when those rights do not come to him based on a din d'oraisa, and the only reason that he has the rights is based on a takana chachamim that was made for his benefit. And certainly the chacham would not make a takana that forces him to receive a benefit, and therefore certainly Reuven has a right to renounce this benefit. However, if there would be a scenario where Reuven is receiving these rights based on a din d'oraisa, then certainly even though Reuven did not yet receive this benefit, he still has no right to renounce the benefit prior to receiving it, and the only way to get rid of this benefit is by making a proper kinyan. And as the Gemara continues, Uchir Rav Kana, this is similar to the Din of Rav Kana. The Amar Rav Kana is Rav Kana taught us, and we continue on Daf Mem Tesan Beis, that although certainly by Din Yerusha Duraisa, and for example, where a child is being Yerush his father's Nechasim, then certainly the child cannot renounce his right. And as Rashbam states, by Nachla Duraisa, a child cannot say Din Udvarim Inli Birushis Avi Kishiyamos, La Yoli La Tnai, and the Tnai would not work. And the Bakoche Shaloyehe, Elim Kinyi, Tnan Lachirim, Belosh Matana. And the only way that he would not receive the Yerusha is only if he gave away B'losh Matana and he made a proper kinyan. However, Rav Kana states in the Nachla Habolo L'Odom Mokam Acher, Odom Masna L'Esh L'Yerushena, in a scenario where Reuven is actually entitled to inherit someone based on Din Rabbanon, and as Rashbam states, Nachla Habolo Hasida Lavoloi could go in Nachla Rabbanon, could Fash to come on, and we're talking about Nachla Rabbanon, Odom Yochla Hasila Kodim Shitova Shlo. In that case, prior to that event occurring, then Reuven can make a Tnai, and he can renounce his rights to that Yerusha, even if he doesn't use Lashon Matana, and could go into Kama Dinu Dvarim Ainli Aloysin Nachla Hasida Lovely and claim my Aloyeheli Dinu Dvarim, and that would work. The Gemara continues, and in what scenario are we talking about that's considered Nachla Bodil Adam Makamacha, Uchid Rava, and like Rava states, the Amr Rava, as Rava taught us, Kala Aime Yashiba Tekonza Chachamim, could go in Zay Shemuloi, that if anyone says that I don't want a Tekonza Chachamim that was made for my benefit, then certainly we would listen to him. The Gemara asked, Maikha going Zay, when Rava stated, that Shemlai, what are we referring to? And the Gemara explains, Rav, that's similar to the din of Rav Huna, the name of Rav, that Rav Huna Rav, as Rav Huna stated, the name of Rav, that a woman could say to her husband, although the Chacham made a takana, that I should receive support from you, and I should receive mezainis, but the Maisa the Chacham said, that based on the fact that I'll receive mezainis, I have to give you all of my earnings. And if, for example, a woman has a very good job, and therefore she doesn't want to give her husband her earnings, then certainly she has a right to renounce the right to mezainis, and she could tell her husband that I won't take support from you, and therefore you won't be entitled to my Maisa Yadayim, and I won't have to give you my earnings, and certainly this would work. And as Rashbam states, that Shemin Lay, the Balkochoi, the Inish Lay is Kur Chachamim, Shem Inichosh, Betavish Osel Chachamim, Lay Nitlay Balkochoi, Shel Dait the Taknu Chachamim. And as Rashbam explains, in the middle of Dilma Maskal, Kadrav Hunam Rav, although it is Machlekis, if we hold Mizoni Ika, or we hold that the Ika Taknus Chachamim was regarding Maisi Adair, however, Hunan, the name of Rav, holds a Mizoni Ika, that the Ika Taknus Chachamim was based on the fact that we wanted to make sure that this woman receives support from her husband, and since the Taknus Chachamim was for her benefit, therefore, she has the right to renounce the rights to mezainis. And Rashbam explains that, why don't we say that since this woman is already married, she already has the rights to mezainis, and she doesn't have the ability to just renounce her right to mezainis. And Rashbam explains, that the rights to mezainis is actually a new right that she receives every single day. Therefore, our Gemara compares this din to the din that a chum will misaken, that a husband has a right to the periods of his wife's nechsei mulug, and this takana was made for the husband's benefit, as long as the husband did not yet receive this right, they didn't yet have the suyin, so therefore the husband has a right to renounce this right, and he could do so by saying, Dinu dvarim ein lebin chasayich uveperu sayich, Rashbam ben Zohar, v'hainu d'itzuch masis l'misni, the English chazach b'nichse ishtar, loyma l'kuach b'yadei, the afagad the kassel, v'idu rusa shenitul klum perisara, afilu hacha, shoska v'loy michta l'baylo, the matzi omro nachas ruach asis l'baylo, shishakli, avu ma'ilu noy mechati loy, but the mice had never sold this property to my husband. The Gemara now continues that from a Mishnah it's mashma that the only reason why a husband doesn't have a right to sada is only because he doesn't have a right to claim that he has a chazaka, as she could claim that the reason why it was a mecha is because of the svara of nachas ruach asisil baigli, and it's mashma a Mishnah haraya yesh that certainly if Reuven would actually bring a shtar that Rachel sold the sada to him, or if Reuven would actually bring edim that testify that Rachel actually sold the sada to him, then it would be a valid transaction and Reuven would have a right to this kaka. But the Gemara is that l'chur, how can we say that it would be a valid transaction if Tema Nachas Ruach Asisa L'Baili, that why can Rachel still claim that the only reason why he sold the Kaka to Reuven was because of the Svar of Nachas Ruach Asisa L'Baili? And as Rashbam states, Tema Nachas Ruach Asisa L'Baili Shemechati Loi Shalayicha Salai, and all this sold it to him in order that he shouldn't be angry at me, Abaloi Hayu B'dayti L'Aknaisai, but I really wasn't Goma Makni, to like Domi L'Tluya V'Zavdas Vini Zvini, and even though Rav Huna already taught us that by Tluya V'Zavdas it's considered a good sale, the Agav Inzi Goma Makni, over here it's not mamish oinis legomer va'akne, so then she could actually state that I actually wasn't gomer va'akne, I really didn't want to sell the sada, and it shouldn't be a valid transaction. And the Gemara continues that how do we know that this would actually be a good svara and a good taina, as midlo tlan, as didn't we learn in the Mishnah Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Hayom Beis, that as we know when Reuven marries Rachel, then Reuven writes a ksuba to his wife, and then at that point all of the nechasim become meshubit to his wife, and there's a lien that's created against all of Reuven's nechasim that his wife can collect from if they eventually get divorced or if Reuven dies before Rachel. Mishnah teaches us that if Shimon wants to go and buy his sada from Reuven and he wants to make sure that he would be able to retain this sada, Reuven's wife should not eventually be able to come and take this sada away from him and be able to collect on his lien. So Shimon thinks that he came up with an eitza and lakach ben ish, and he goes and buys his property from Reuven, the chaz of lakach ben isha. Then Shimon goes over to Rachel and he purchases any rights that she has in his property, and he wants to make sure that she's mevatel her lien against his property. The Mishnah teaches us that mechle batel, that although he has a right to this property and he will be able to use this property for all the days that Reuven is married to Rachel, and as long as Reuven is still alive or Reuven doesn't divorce Rachel, the maaseh, if Reuven actually dies or Reuven divorces Rachel, Reuven doesn't have enough money to pay for Rachel tsuba, then Rachel will be able to still go and collect from this asset. Rachel still has a lien against his asset, even though Shimon actually bought this right from Rachel. But the Mishnah teaches us that that transaction is not a valid transaction, and Alma, and it must be that the reason why it's not a valid transaction is because Umra, as Rachel states, that the reason why I sold this property to you is not because I actually wanted to sell it to you, but Nachas Ruach Sisil Baili, I want to make sure that we had Shalom Bayis and my husband was happy with me, therefore Hachinami Tema nachas ruach chasisa lebaili, and l'chayr we should extend the din to our case as well, and even in a case where a husband claims that he bought nisim lug from his wife, and he actually has edim that actually testified that they saw that he bought this property from Rachel, or in a case where Reuven is not relying on a chazaka of shalosh shanim, and he actually brings his shtar to Bezdin, which states that Rachel sold this property to him, and l'chayr it should not be a valid transaction, as Rachel could claim, while it's true I did sell to him, but l'maisa I sold to him bal kochi, and l'maisa nachas ruach chasisa lebaili. The Gemara answers that in a chenabi, really a woman doesn't have a right to say nachas ruach chasisa lebaili, and if she sold the standard sada of nichsim log, then certainly Reuven would have a right to that sada, and certainly if Reuven has edim that Rachel sold the sada to him, or Reuven produces a shtar that Rachel sold the sada to him, then certainly Reuven would have a right to the sada. And even though we have a Mishnah Mesechtes Ksubas that stated lachav an ish v'chazav lachav an isha, that mechle batal, that is not because we always say nachas ruach chasisa lebaili, and it's only specifically in certain scenarios that we say that's mechle batal. And as the Gemara explains ha'itmal law that we learned regarding that Mishnah, that Amrav Barafuna, that Rav Barafuna explains le'nitzcha el ba'islam gimel sadeis, the only time that the halacha of that Mishnah actually applies is only in regard to specific three sadeis. And as Rashbam explains, because regarding those three sadeis, they are meshubadis lo yosim mishan echasim, that those sadeis are meshubata more than the rest of his assets, v'daita samcha l'rayo tvei, and therefore Rachel looks at those sadeis as those are the sadeis that I will receive my ksuva from. And certainly regarding those specific three sadeis, she definitely would not be gamur maknei, therefore specifically in those scenarios, it's mechum batal, and specifically regarding those three sadeis, then we say that the only reason why she signed off on the sale is only because of the svar of nachas ruach chasisa lebaili. However, benegei other sadeis, for example, if Rachel actually sold a sada of nichsim lug to Reuven, then certainly that sale can be valid, and we would not say the svar of nachas ruach chasisa lebaili. And the Gemara continues, and what three sadeis are we referring to? And Rav Bar Puna teaches us achas shekasla b'ksubasa, and we continue on daf nunam dalef achas sheyichla b'ksubasa v'achas shechnisa leishum mishala. And Rashbam explains when the Gemara stated achas shekasla b'ksubasa, that is referring to a sada that a husband actually specified in his ksuba that he will actually give that to his wife if he dies or if he divorces her. And since this sada was specified in the ksuba, therefore she samcha daita lei tvei mishan nechasim. And Rashbam continues that even though he specified a specific sada in the ksuba, however, all the nechasim of a husband is lemaisa meshubit to his wife. And as every ksuba states, kol nechasa achrayin leksubaseich umir lehiskiv leisayim mekulam beferish b'techa shtar ksuba ki'im zelvadai. However, certainly Reuven didn't specify every single sada and every asset that he owns in the ksuba. Reuven only specified this sada in the ksuba, and therefore on that sada itself, she semir das much more. And on that sada, we would say that if she signs off her right, then it must be that it's only because nachas ruach chasisa lebaili, and therefore the mekach would be batal. Rashbam continues and explains the second case on daf nun amud alef va'achas sheyichla b'ksubasa, and this sada was not written directly in the ksuba, but instead at a later point after they were married, he actually said to her that you should know that this sada should be meshubat to you. And as Rashbam states, v'asa poiteki ligvos mimena ksubasa, and he actually said poitekoi that you should be able to collect the ksuba from this sada umiyu kolsa daisa meshubadlam b'tech shtar ksuba. And as he mentioned previously, that certainly she has a lien against all of Reuven's sadas, and while zeh by techas yisa hol v'yichter lo b'fnei edim, since l'maisa he was miyached the sadatar in front of edim. And finally, the Rashbam explains the third case in achas shechnis l'shul mishalah, and it's referring to a case where she brings in a sada into the marriage, which is a sada of Saint Basil, and we know that at the time of the marriage they actually appraise the sada. And for example, if this sada is valued at $1,000, and while they're married, the husband has a right to all the payers. However, if the husband dies or if the husband divorces her, then he has to pay her back $1,000. And even if the sada went up in value and is now worth $10,000, or went down in value and is now only worth $500, her husband still has to pay her the $1,000. And as Rashbam points out, that this is actually written in the ksuba, as the ksuba states in Dona Dunya Danol Slim and Besavua, Kachra Kachbam and Sacha Kol Kibal Leva Chosim and Kachra Kachdinrin. Lamaisa, even though originally this sada belonged to Rachel, however, ultimately she brought it into the marriage. And since at the time of the marriage, the original appraisal on this property was for $1,000, for any amount that the sada goes up in value, Rachel will actually have a lien against his sada, and Lamaisa was in the family previously, so therefore she's semich das on this sada as well, and therefore even if she signed off on this mekach, however Lamaisa, she could claim nachas ruach chasisa lebaili, and therefore mechle batal. In order to explain our Mishnah, the Gemara continues, and the Metaritz explains the words of Rav Bar Puna, and the Gemara explains l'mutei mai, that when Rav Bar Puna explained that the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin is referring to three cases, and when the Mishnah state lachem and ish b'chazav lachem and isha mecher batal is referring to three cases. It's lav dafka referring to only three cases, as we will see. And the Gemara therefore asks, what case is Rabbi Bar Puna coming to exclude, and in what case can women not say nachasua chasisa lebaili? And the Gemara explains ilay melamutei shana chasim, that if you're going to tell me that a woman can never claim nachasua chasisa lebaili if she agrees to sign on to a transaction regarding any of the other assets that a husband owns, including this state same Basel, but kolshkin to have a lot iva. So certainly if Rabbi Bar Puna stated that even those nachasim where she actually has some connection for ksuba, then we say that nachasua chasisa lebaili, and she would sign off and not want to start up with her husband and state that lemaisa I have a connection to these assets and therefore I don't want to sign on this transaction, and over there lechayr the husband should not be upset as he understands that she doesn't want to sign on an asset where she has a strong connection to it and he was already miyakat to her for a ksuba. However, certainly in a case where the husband wants to sell any of his other assets which are not meshubet to a ksuba, and in that case if Rachel would actually tell her husband that she doesn't want to sign on to that transaction, so then certainly her husband will feel that she must want to get divorced, or she must be hoping that he will die shortly, and then she will be able to go and collect from his assets. And as the Gemara states, the Amalah, as Reuben says to Rachel, a nechadasata begirishin of a misa, the fact that you don't want to sign off on this transaction, it must be that you're hoping that we will get divorced or that I will die, and this way you'll be able to collect the ksuba. Certainly in that case, we will say that the reason why a woman will sign off on this deed is because she could claim that nachasua chasisa lebaili, and I didn't want to cause any stress and any strife in my relationship with my husband. As Rashbam explains, when Rabbi Bar Puna stated his din b'negei these three sadais, Rabbi Bar Puna was actually trying to be mekadesh to us that even in the case of these three sadais, we still say that there's a svar of nachasua chasisa lebaili. And as Rashbam states, one may have thought to hanach gimel sadais le'om lo balhachi, that a husband will not say this to me'achash yichmula dinhu shetar b'mechirasan, that Reuven understands that since she has a connection to these sadais, so therefore it would make sense that she wouldn't want to sign off on these transactions, v'hilkar rabusu to kama, and therefore Rabbi Bar Puna is teaching chasir chiddush le'nitzuchel haydu tani mechir batol le'yibay b'shan achasad le'milsad b'shiti le'matz amras nachzua chasisa lebaili k'deish le'yayma e'necha nesat b'gir shivimisin el afilu b'hadach gimel sadeis le'lek le'me'machi afilu hachi mechir batol. And even so mechir batol de'kivna m'kalmokim e'nin shalo le'garmi, that le'maisa it's not her property k'im shalbal, but le'maisa it belongs to her husband, so matz amr, therefore she could say nachzua chasisa lebaili. And let's keep in mind that every time we mention the words mechir batol from the Mishnah Maseches Gittin, the Rashbam already explained on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, mechir batol loy batol batol mamish, it doesn't mean that the transaction is completely void. Shegolz man sheyichya bal yoichel zeh lekeches heperis, as certainly while the husband is alive, so certainly the buyer that purchases property from the husband will be able to use the property for its peiros. And as Rashbam states, shereya meichem machloy kolz man shloy tiskar sheisha bleyoviz man givuk subasa shere mishnezu bechol nechasev kakoy sheish lo bal mayri kedemuch alchakamon besamach. And as we just learned in our sugya, and as Rashbam brings uraya from our sugya as well as from the Mishnah Maseches Gittin, therefore he continues b'shamen olamidim shamecha kayim va'apul pishu mishubadim leisha al dohachi hani shibud shetuchel litrav man kshegiyas mana ligvas ksubasa hilka chay mechle batal achaz v'loch min isha kai david batal gamri, that the actual transaction and the actual purchase they made from the wife is actually batal gamri hahu mekach who should have ligvas ksubasa titrav mimenu din matzu amr nachas ruach zisil baili limkel chokaka mishubedisli. And based on this explanation of the Gemara, so it comes out in all cases where a husband sells an asset to a third party and then the wife signs on to it, so in all cases really a woman could say nachasua chasisa lebaili. That is pshat in Mishnah Maseches Gittin where it states lach min ish v'chazav lach min isha mechir batol. However, there has to be at least one case where we're going to say that the mechach would be kayim and we don't say nachasua chasisa lebaili, as otherwise we would not be able to explain the diak of our Mishnah. And as we would die from a Mishnah daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph that stated that it's muchach that a man cannot make and cannot create a chazaka in the nechas of his wife, but if he actually had a raya and for example he brought edim that he actually bought this asset from his wife, or Reuven produces a shtar where it states that he actually purchased this asset from Rachel, then we would not say mechir batol and we would not say that the wife could taina nachasua chasisa lebaili. Gemara therefore states el lemute nechsimulog that in the chenami when a Mishnah stated that a husband would be able to bring a shtar that he bought an asset from his wife, or he will be able to bring edim that he bought this asset from Rachel, that is specifically talking about a case where he bought the nichsim lug from his wife. And since any property which is categorized as nichsim lug belongs completely to Rachel, and Reuven only has the rights to use the peiros of this kaka while he's married to Rachel, so certainly in that case, if Rachel really really didn't want to sell this asset to Reuven, then she should have protested and she shouldn't have sold it to him, as Lemaisa, she has complete ownership of that asset, and therefore it wouldn't cause any strife in the marriage, and therefore we don't say a svara of Nachas Ruach Hasisa L'Baili. And specifically in that scenario, our Mishnah taught us Lo L'Ish Chazaka B'Nichsei Ishtoi, and it's Meduyik that way, as we stated the Lashon, that he doesn't have a right to Chazaka B'Nichsei Ishtoi, and it's Mashma that his wife owns this asset completely, and that must be referring to a case of Nichsei Melug, and therefore when the Mishnah in Mishnechtes Gittin Daf Nun Heim Beis states Lachem Ish V'Chazav Lachem Isha Mechad Batal, is referring to all other assets aside from Nichsei Melug. And as Rabbeinu Yonah points out, that when Rabbi Avuna stated Ela Ba'is and Gimel Sadeis, he's actually coming to the Marba as well as to Yemayit. The Rabbi is Tafilu B'Tech Gimel Sadeis Ika Eva Achtal Pishish L'Schus Yosim B'Shan Echasim Sharei Heim Apotik L'Ksubasa and L'Mayit. And it's also coming to Yemayit the Menichsei Melug Mechad Kayim Ayin Shom. And we will stop over here.